Blog Talk Radio.
Listening on Blog Talk Radio, Canada Free Press Radio, Kelly O'Connell. And it is the 12th day, the 11th month, November. And we're right in the middle of a giant, big, giant vote dispute in the United States over many, many states. Excuse me. And so I hope you're doing well today. I did write an article a couple of days ago that was very, very popular, and I did a follow-up, which I assume will probably be popular too. The first one was titled, got that right here. Just getting my first coffee, but it was along the lines of the lieutenant of George Soros owns the voting machines that are being used in these swing states. And let me just get back to that title though for you, so you can find it on Canada Free Press. This one is titled today's. Article is called U.S. Vote Machine Made in Venezuela for Election Fraud. And the last one is called Unbelievable. George Soros Employee Owns Defective Switch Vote Biden Machines. And got into that. And that was, dare I say, very, very popular. It's going towards 7,000 shares. And had a lot of comments on it, too. And what I covered in that story was, and I know a lot of people who came and read that then went and listened to the radio aspect, the podcast on here. And so, but the story in a nutshell is that guy who was very close to George Soros, who's America's greatest enemy, had gone and been involved in Venezuela. And had gone and started this machine company with this software engineer from Venezuela. According to the CIA investigation, there was a throwing of the election. Hugo Chavez, the dictator, was down many, about 20 points in popular opinion. It was a retention race, whether they were going to retain him as the dictator, which is kind of strange to think about in the first place, but I guess these places that have – there's something so powerful about democracy that even a dictator has to pretend that they're a Democrat or Republican or whatever, meaning they believe in the votes of the people or they believe in open government. So the upshot on that was that he owns the company, and it's called Smartmatic, and it's a vote count company. And it was, as we found out later, it was involved in this very strange situation where they're down in this country, Lord Brown is down there, I guess. I didn't get all the details of where he was at all the time. But that he's down there, or he is, I'm just going to assume that he went down there occasionally. They made this machine with the help of the government. The government chose them, the Smartmatic company, to put together machines for voting, and they didn't know what they were doing. So the government, the Venezuela, think about this. The government in Venezuela is helping them to learn how to make voting machines and to deploy them. Now, to me, that's like the mafia comes and helps you figure out how to run your business. So they put this together, and they have this election in 2004. And the election in 2004 was it's successful for Hugo Chavez. He got retained. And they said that one of the strange things about this race was that where he was very weak in the country, he ended up being strong. And so mathematicians in Venezuela, when they still had people like that, I mean, people are just dying of starvation. But I've never really figured this out. What is the purpose of having a communist state, which is, you know, they all look the same. They all have a problem having an economy. People don't have any. There is, you know, a lot of people locked in. And you've got this guy, Hugo Chavez, who pretends to be, and then Jimmy Carter, of course, Jimmy Carter, he shows up and says, you know, I don't see you. And so, what do they call it? Helpful idiots. These people that show up and they, help the communists. They're so stupid. So Jimmy Carter is so naive. But it was, I think, probably a new day in voter fraud, because, you know, what you're talking about is fraud through algorithms and such. They said they found a subtle algorithm in this, in the vote switching. There was vote switching, of course, and so what it's doing is just plucking out so many votes per 100 to throw to the other side. Now, this same thing happened. The same thing happened in, I think it was Michigan, where 6,000 votes suddenly took a jump, and as a result, 6,000 votes that were cast for Trump ended up in the column of the, wrestling with my coffee here, pardon me. These votes took a jump, and, you know, what they're going to say, obviously, I mean, what anybody would say, whether they knew anything or not, is that it was just an anomaly. But so these machines are built, and then they're taken around the world. And the fascinating thing is that the problems in the voting occur in other places, of course, because, I mean, for a couple of things. Number one, I don't, you know, what if these people really don't know what they're doing? The Venezuelan government that helps, you know, police state set up, and there's a company that is called, I'm trying to remember the name of it, it's like something like Bitsa. Oh, Bitsa. Okay, so now here's the next level. The investment in the building of the machine came from the Venezuelan government because they loaned them $200,000. dollars. And so that money came in and it became an investment. And so this company was owned by Venezuela and was owned in part by Venezuela and by the Bits of Software company of Venezuela. So the government has stated the government does not believe in democracy. By definition, a communist government doesn't believe in democracy. It's the antithesis of that. And then you've got Bitsa, this Venezuela company, the software company. What do you think its job is? Do you think Bitsa is trying to spread freedom and light and prosperity? I mean, one of the things that happens in a communist country is not prosperity. People without prosperity, government will have war, right? It's just common sense. So you've got this company that is made, that is owned by George Soros' best friend. I'm going to call him his best friend otherwise, because George Soros put this guy as vice president of his investment fund, and also of his investment company that overlooks all of his investments. And in addition to that, he has him as the vice president of the Open Society. He's still on the board of that. Now, what does the Open Society do? Open Society goes and invests in things like gay races in the United States so that the gays won't enforce the law. Right? So, and they invest supporting Antifa, and they invest supporting Black Lives. So you've got this stuff going on with Open Society. This guy, in the meantime, Lord Brown is Lord Mark Malik Brown or something like some glorified British name. He was the vice president of the United Nations and helped deal with the oil camp disaster in somewhere from $500 to $1 billion. Is selling Iranian or Iraqi oil. And this guy was the vice president of the World Bank. So he's one of these people that you run into in society. He knows everybody. He's got connections everywhere. He's extremely, extremely well not just connected, but you can call him a bag man. You can call him he's a fixer, you know? Send this guy into the United Nations and fixes oil for food. Now he's fixing elections for the world. So think about how he is. He must really suck as a country if we let people like this, and this guy lived in Pakistan. He's a resident of the United States now. But there were vote problems in all of the places these guys went. There was a couple of elections that were disastrous in the Philippines. And now, Smartmatic is trying or has become the Philippines ID czar. Somehow. And so George Soros, who was worth $30 to $40 billion, has invested billions of dollars in the United States to try to overthrow democracy. I mean, so what's this guy? This guy lives through German invasion of his country, in Eastern Europe, and actually Western Europe, and trying to remember where he lived, Czechoslovakia, someplace like that. And where he's actually been, he's been banned in various countries because of all this crap. So these are his people. He is Jewish. He was given a non-Jewish ID so that he wouldn't be killed, and rode around with the person who was in charge of taking all of the wealth and property out of his homes, and for the Germans. And he looked back and said, he was, well, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 kind of thing. He said it was the greatest time of his life. Now, I mean, I don't even know how you can really address that, you know. The greatest time in this guy's life is when he is with German or whatever Germans are, to stop that. I mean, you know. So, I mean, sociopaths, psychopaths. And if you write an article and you put George Soros in there, telling you right now that people pay attention, because the people of the United States understand how dangerous this guy is, how he's been allowed to do all these things in America. He's 90. Nobody's ever stood up to him. They do in Europe, but somehow out of this, you know, Nazism is a brand of statism. Statism is the complete control of a country by the government, right? It's the opposite of what we call republicanism. What is republicanism? It is the, you know, which you think about it, well, that's beautiful. I mean, that's how America has achieved everything it has, by self-government and the blessing of God, of course. And, you know, this guy is going around the world pretending to be a god, and, you know, in this case, a god on the verge of death by virtue of age. And he's doing everything he can to bring in Marxism. Now, if you know anything about Nazism, National Socialism is what it stands for. Nazi. So the idea that Nazism is the opposite of communism, variation, which I'll just explain very quickly. It is got fascist economics versus communism. Communism, the government, and in communism, you got to remember one thing: party loyalty is the only thing that matters, because the party controls everything. So, in a communist country, apparatchiks or party loyalists, whoever, are taken and put at the head of businesses. Because what happens in a communist coup, the government comes in and takes over all industries. Well, unless you have the people who worked at this company leading the company, then the company is going to suffer a drastic loss in competence, and which is explains why communism did so poorly economically. For fascism, the people who own the business, that built the business, stay there. But they have to swear loyalty to the government. They have to do what the government asks. And if they don't, they're put out of business. And, you know, Krupps, that makes coffee machines and stuff like that, Boss, the famous clother of the Nazis, made the outfits for them, and Mercedes-Benz, all of these companies were loyal to the government and made it. That's why they're still there, and many other companies. But more companies were put out of business in Germany and Italy. So anyway, so you've got these people that they work together, but they're more than that. You know, this guy's a billionaire. He's made this phenomenal amount. Maybe he made $50 billion, but he's a trader. He's a money trader. He's a market guy. What he loves to do more than anything, George Soros, is to go into troubled economies and get money out of their system by trading against their currency. And he did this in Britain, and he almost broke the pound, and that's why Britain never, well, one of the reasons Britain never agreed to have money unit as their currency, and that gave them strength and made them able to finally Europe in Brexit. So phenomenally rich but elderly George Soros, who is still mentally competent, and he's with this guy, Lord Brown, and they have been partners in crime, basically, literally, for decades and decades. And one of the crimes was that there was a gentleman who was a diamond trader, an Israeli guy. He was a multi-billionaire, and his name is Benny Steinmetz. He was the biggest diamond trader in the world. And so Lord Brown was not in the government at this point. He became an advisor to Benny Steinmetz and then took information, secret information about his company, and gave it to George Soros. George Soros uses this, this was trying to make. And so he was sued. And Brown was sued and lost £90,000, which is a lot of money. I mean, it would have been 10 or 20% of what he claims to be his net worth right now. But the main thing is that for George Soros, even though this guy had a real great reputation at that time, he went in and did dirty work for Soros. Now, Soros didn't get in trouble. And don't forget, Soros was prosecuted and convicted in France of money laundering. And he's spent years and probably hundreds of millions of dollars trying to get rid of that. He has been blocked in many countries or criticized in many countries. And I'm going to look up just out of curiosity. And so he comes along to be a... He's got a kind of messianic view of himself. He's got a doctorate in philosophy from the London School of Economics. Now, it says that Soros is banned from 6 countries, and he's economically destroyed 15 countries. I don't know. I have to... I would have to go and research that, but 15 countries. And so anyway, needless to say that he is not celebrated for curing cancer or something like that. What he does is he uses his knowledge as a trader and an economist, as a rapacious businessman. It's personal with him, or it's not personal, however you see it. God, but the government. So, it's kind of an interesting notion. So let's get into the book she made in Venezuela, which was published today. Introduction stuff about that. So here's the basic argument here is that in this time where we're fighting to keep our republic, and republicanism in a large sense, not in the party sense, but in a large sense, and democracy. It's much more sophisticated than tyranny and being dominated by a king, et cetera, et cetera. But it is not republicanism. Republicanism modifies democracy. Democracy is what they, sometimes refer to pejoratively as mob rule. So anything that's popular can become law. In a democracy, you've got a constitution. You've got a Bill of Rights. And what it was reduced to the other day that I thought was interesting is republicanism is it is self-government, and therefore it is open government. And so when you apply that standard to the country, a country with people are doing, there's alarm bells going off, and the alarm bells are related to the fact that we've got companies operating in here directly over our vote. Smartmatic and Dominion voting system, which are have been commingled in the past, along with Sequoia voting system, and there's no transparency. They have taken the ownership of Smartmatic and put it out into offshore, so we can't really find out who owns this. The speculation of a lot of people is that George Soros actually owns Smartmatic. I mean, there have been a lot of problems in elections with Smartmatic. So even after 2004 and 2007, there was a vote in Venezuela that had brought in an extra 1 million votes. And Smartmatic, you know, 1 million fake votes. And Smartmatic, one of the owners, one of the people that created it, and this guy is Venezuelan. His name is Antonio Mugica. He admitted that there was 1 million votes, and he said it was not their fault. So they're still involved in Venezuela. They're from Venezuela. They're regarded in some articles as a Venezuelan, a communist. Country builds a voting machine with a guy from Venezuela and another guy from Britain who's relocated to America. And people are shocked that the machine, which was built to defraud the people on a recall, is now being used in the United States. It's now being used in the Philippines and in many, many other places. And they're shocked that there's problems. And so they have this, there's a speculation out there. You're not allowed to get the software and analyze it because it's proprietarial, meaning it's under copyright. So you've got private companies coming out of communist countries that are being used in America to do votes. And there are massive irregularities. Some of which have been, you know, in this particular race, you know, attached to Smartmatic and Dominion voting systems, and we're shocked. We're surprised. And so the number of races that has had problems with this is pretty big. And so Dominion, which is associated with Smartmatic, Dominion vote systems failed in 2018 in Georgia, and they demanded in 2019, the people put a sign up sheet to get rid of these guys. And that failed, but, they kept the machines, but it failed again in Georgia this year. There's been problems. 6,000 ballots were switched from Biden to Trump in Michigan. And Pennsylvania, Nevada, Wisconsin, Minnesota, I'll use Arizona, it's mentioned that, all these places that are struggling to count the vote used Smartmatic. So was the history of Smartmatic and the unbelievable fact that it's coming out of, it was designed in a communist country. The purpose of it was to throw an election. And that's clear if you read the articles, New York Times and such. When the CIA did an investigation and came to the conclusion that it was a fraud election. So this is here's the investigation. And this is in McClatchy News Service, appearing last month, and this is, I think, in 2000 and I think it's 2007 when this is printed. Appearing last month before a U.S. Election Assistance Commission field hearing in Orlando, Florida, this is a Senate or a House body, a CIA cybersecurity expert named Stephen Stigall suggested that Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez and his allies fixed a 2004 election recount. Smartmatic apparently is not proud of this because I went to their website to look for some notes on it and it wasn't listed for some reason. That's when they actually came into being, and it's kind of reminiscent of the Roman gods that didn't have any history. There was never an explanation where the Roman gods came from, but so Stigall says he told the Election Assistance Commission that computerized electoral systems are vulnerable at five stages by altering voter registration lists to posting results. And I didn't find the actual five, but so they found when they investigated this that the turnout figures in Venezuela's constituent assembly election were tampered with. The director of a company that provided the electoral support, this guy, Mujica, or however you pronounce his name, is giving his, he's up there like he's a priest or something. You know, he's so noble. But it's his machines that did this that threw off the million votes out of nowhere. And speaking in London, Antonio Mujica, the CEO and director of Smartmatic, said the company estimated the difference between the actual participation and one announcement by authorities is at least 1 million votes. So, I mean, all he's doing is playing CYA. So that is, you know, kind of the amazing story there. So you've got a system that is built by a communist country. They loan the money and they get their software company to be involved, and they own each other. You know, the government has a 28% ownership of Smartmatic, and then this company, that the software company is in too. So it's born in communism. It's born under Marxism, and people want to know why the machines don't work. And the answer is they work perfectly fine. They get the results that the left needs. So McClatchy says when Chavez won, Venezuelan mathematicians challenged results that showed him to be consistently strong in parts of the country where he had weak support. The mathematicians found a very subtle algorithm. Remember that, a very subtle algorithm. A slight change in what should be in the software that appeared to adjust the vote in Chavez's favor. So you've got the vote going on, and Trump is all of a sudden they have to close for some reason, although I don't remember that happening in other races, but all these states closed down. And I don't know about all the states, but I do know that some of them, I believe Pennsylvania, Michigan, would not let poll observers in, or if they came in, they said stay 6 feet back, and then they would pull the table back another 6 feet, which is absurd. But for the places, election machines are vulnerable if they're online to being hacked. If they're not online, they are vulnerable to being hit by a thumb drive. So you take a thumb drive and you stick it into this machine. And this, I mean, if if you were writing a novel about the USSR or, you know, some future communist state, you'd have stuff like that, right? You know, some nefarious guy shows up in a black trench coat, pulls out a thumb drive and looks both ways and then sticks it into this computer, and then that takes over the computer, that puts in what they need, and then they start running the ballots through that. So 1,000 votes in Pennsylvania. How did he lose that? How is it possible? But it's over 50-60%. You know, how did they have to have an algorithm? The algorithm, it's like I take, you know, you take somebody's counting machine, their adding machine, and their little end computer, and you put in just a little tango in there and adjust one of the little screws or whatever, however it's done. And the algorithm comes out of, not accident, obviously, but it comes out of a program. And so you only use it. Notice in the United States, they were only used to fix elections and where Biden was behind. And what I think happened probably is that Biden was well behind. And there was no way that he could win. And so, but they didn't know that. They thought they were ahead at some point. But they're using these machines, which were designed from the beginning to throw elections. That's what people have to understand. And so they take this algorithm somehow, stick it on a thumb drive or whatever. The algorithm's already hidden in there, and they turn it on, and then the votes start changing. So that's, you know, that's probably the easiest way. Now there could be ballots, you know, in a lot of, don't forget, a lot of states, the governor decided that, and I think it was 11 states, the governor decided on their own. This is like a group decision with these people. They decided that they were going to take it, set everybody, a voter, a ballot, no problem. But they end up rolls. So you got all of the things that are not used become a fodder for how to get more ballots. So one of the things you'll notice is they stay in some of these races. You don't know how many people. The reason is if normal elections show up and they vote, if people are mailing in ballots, you don't know how many votes you're going to have. But plus, if you have the possibility of two ballots for each person, and think about this, each person has the right to come in and vote in person. Each person already has a ballot sent to their house. That represents two ways of voting for each person. It's very confusing. Now, maybe in defense of some of these people, you could say that, you know, you could say, well, you know, they're doing this because they thought there was going to be this massive play. My response is that's poor planning. It's not good planning. It's terrible planning. So, a lady by the name of Cheryl Shane Cumley wrote an opinion. Rich Lewis is 89 years old, but by God, before he got into going to see the entire destruction of America, at least that's how it seems. And so you've got this one guy who just happens to be a multi-billionaire getting involved in
regional and local politics. So Politico said, it wrote, website for Politico, George Soros has fried over all of the U.S. stretching system, was reported by Politico in 2016. A PAC funded by George Soros pumped nearly 1 million into local races for prosecutors' races that he aided were in court with him in Seattle and San Francisco. Where's the most dangerous place to say? You're thinking it's going to be New York after this police protest, anti police protest. Soros focused on St. Louis and got his own DA in there, and now that's the most dangerous city in the country. Believe it or not, something else he's done. This is published this year, I think it was this year. He announced. Around the world. What right does this guy have to do this stuff? Other than rich, why can't the United States? Why did I mean, I don't get it. You know? And so here's the thing. They get this. He and his George, I mean, so here's how the original deal was. 7 months before that contract was hired, and that what this is what they said for time, Smartmatic firm, with no experience in other technology. Recall. It, again, it's 7 months before. Owned by the same people as Smartmatic. Joined with Smartmatic as a minor partner in the bid. In return, the government agency was given a 28% stake in the smaller company and a seat on its board. So I continue to be an official. So the guy that was helping Chavez chief before is put on the board of Smartmatic. Or the way this is written, it's like Telco Smartmatic or BITSA. But here's the thing. They had 7 months to come up with this machine. They had never been involved in voting before, voting machines. Think about it. 7 months to do this. They pulled it off. Maybe it seemed like a miracle. But they, it was so who's to say security issue? National security. Why is a company that was built and designed for fraud in Venezuela here trusted? Do you think that in office in the various, you know, how these machines run, you know, where they came from, what the software is like, and some of these machines have a switcher that
that they can switch votes. And that's what happened probably in that 6,000 Votron. Now, the reports out there, I have not read anything about this. I haven't really looked just exclusively at this, but you've got a situation where many ballots come in for one person. That is a sign of it. It's impossible. It is impossible electronically or not electronically. Why would sign? So, what are we going to do about this? How do you hope that it's fraud? And why would fraud elements not him? Why are we picking this company to take care of IDs, national ID system? I'm sure the people that were involved in the software, which would be Dominion voting systems and smart. So all are intrinsically related entities. And when Smartmatic had Sequoia, they developed software that is today. So when they even because the government wanted to do an audit of their practices. And instead of doing that, because they were worried about, you know, these two companies in the small and so instead of but what they call a I'm going to have to do another article just on the software aspect of it. But this all involves software already. It involves Dominion voting systems. It involves Sequoia voting systems. I mean, where do you think Dominion got that? So Sequoia was a very good company and was. And then Sequoia was bought by. Smartmatic, and they used Sequoia to help create software, obviously for their machine. The government goes after them, and they say instead of agreeing to this investigation, we're going to sell this company to another company who just happens to have the same name. It's not Sequoia anymore. It's Dominion, but it's voting systems, and it's. So, what do you believe? What do you think was? What do you think? I can't that the government hasn't done anything about this. So, what happened? I don't get it. I mean, why? I understand if you're a leftist, you're a government that is owned by one of the world's rich people, that's obviously a terrible person. How does that help us? Why would we allow a company that was built under merchant fraud? Why would we
algorithms and software fiber. So here's the conclusion of all this. My question to you is, what can we do? You know? And I've been reading up this article. I didn't even see all this. Your number to call in here is 516-586-387. But I think that we also need to get ethics going. I mean, we already know it. We, you know, we need to get control of our voting. You know, we can't. If this goes through, if Trump loses, we will never have control of our voting. The country we're so close to losing. So here's how we sum it up. U.S. Department of Voting System was created from communist Venezuela, first by choice, sought by his government, stolen, educated by Pizza. And a mere 16 years ago this happened, designed and first deployed to defraud every election, claims the CIA. Today, Venezuela is a failed nation whose people are trapped in a living. That's true. Think about this. Here, this guy, Lord Brown, he thinks he's the greatest this boss, your buddy, Mark Soros, is not on Earth. But these two guys helped set up the Venezuelan people, the most prosperous country in South America, or the world's biggest oil reserves. Think about how they have the world's biggest oil reserves, but because they're so incompetent, because they're socialists, they're Marxists, they can't even get the oil out of the ground and get it refined. So they have to get their oil, they have to get their gas from something else. I mean, it's pathetic. They took over the giant infrastructure over there. As soon as they did, they assumed ownership of it against the imperialists. Yeah, as soon as that happened, they stopped investing in the moral and they stopped doing important updates. So it's starting to fall into a part of it. Now it's just a but this might not have happened if Smartmatic had willfully cooperated in an election. Smartmatic was then deployed to America, where it is now in the midst of an American split. So given the machine's origin, purpose, records, and ability, what are the questions? But thank you. So what do you say, how do you think this is going to work out? Intellectually, emotionally, we've all seen it. Unbreakable. They tried to kill him with the Russia folks. They tried to kill him with the Russia. But now we have this guy who's about to take over, I think. Or set in stone right now. He's not even talking. Trump had massive crowds across the United States. Everybody divided them out by people. He's mostly all for Harris is consistent, you know what? She is a communist from what everybody says, the most progressive, the least principled.
So anyway, have a great day. Thanks for tuning in. Come back tomorrow, 7 o'clock Mountain Time, and I guess 5 o'clock on the East Coast. But have a great day, Kelly O'Connell Show. Ciao. Go Canada Free Press, folks.